Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our show tonight. This is Hanshi Jesse Bowen. Professor Gary Lee, have you arrived for us yet?
Hey, Hanshi Bowen. Be able to talk to my old friend Daryl Sutton to interview him tonight. How you got home safely?
Yeah, right? Oh, yes, sir, I did. You had a great time in Texas, and everyone, if you have not been to Professor Gary Lee's event, you really have to go because it was totally amazing. I know Karen, we were talking about the event last night and what a fantastic event that you had. I was there last year, which was a great event. This year was, a lot, I think, felt like twice the number of people. Sir, I just wanted to compliment you on a phenomenal job that you did with the event this past weekend.
Well, thank you, Hanshi Bowen. That really is special. And congratulations to you becoming an official history general for the Sport Karate Museum. And later on, Daryl, just be with us. I'm going to introduce you here in a minute. But, Hanshi Bowen, I'm going to share with you the vision. The Sport Karate Museum is not just put together people, but put together the right people. And as you know, J. Pat Burleson was there, Jim Harrison, Hills Hazelbeck. I mean, I can go on and on and on as far as a legend, Mikey Rowe Moore. Just a group of people, Jim Buten, Mr. Minshew, Rick Arnold. I mean, this was Linda Denley. I mean, Chris Minshew. I mean, some great fighters from the past and the present. And Kata Wars was bigger than I expected. Mr. Murphy, who won that beautiful cup and the title.
But for the second time.
Yes. And he won two tournaments in one day. He won the Galveston Nationals on the same day, drove straight from Galveston to the Kata Wars, and won the Kata Wars title. Amazing man. But Bubba Kumite, everyone thought it was crazy, and they criticized it, and that was cool. But I had Jim Harrison, the baddest dude in the world, sitting beside me and didn't leave me, and he kept nudging me and pinching me and says, this is incredible. And if people don't know what Bubba Kumite is, we have two bubble machines, and we train it just like a continuous fighting. Two judges with clickers, a center referee. They bow to each other, they shake hands, and they face the bubble machine. They're all ages. They're about 10 to 7, 7 to 5, and 5 to 1. That's right, 1-year-old. And they get out there and they fight the bubble. 50 bubbles a second comes out of that machine. And they get clicks for every time they click the bubble. With good technique. The TI, yep. They get 2 clicks. If they do a cartwheel, spinny kick, jump back, hook kick, they get 3 clicks. At the end of the 1 minute, they face each other, they bow, shake hands, judges score, sometimes 130 clicks, sometimes 50 clicks, sometimes 10 clicks, but it doesn't matter. They're having fun. And we gave away a beautiful Dragon Cup that lit up full of silver quarters. And the champion was a young lady named Grogan. And Brogan. I keep calling the wrong name. Her name is Brogan. But, yes, it was. I got a plump Bubba Kumite. I'm sorry, because when you have the baddest man on the earth and known for blood and guts legends, Jim Harrison, didn't leave my side. I'm just fascinated with Bubba Kumite. It's worth talking about. But thank you so much for the compliment. And going into tonight's show, one of the things that I'd really like to say is that thank you to everyone that participated. Thank you to everyone that wanted to come that couldn't make it. Thank you for just being part of the sport karate scene and putting together people. That's really the magic and the ohana of any event that the Sport Karate Museum does. Well, that said, tonight we have a very special guest. And I say that because you know, I've known this guy for a long time, and it's very personal. If anything, the reason why I named my show Parts Unknown is that I get to talk some good stories with this next interview tonight. And, you know, this young – okay, it's really hard to start because he's real personal. This is about Mr. Daryl Stewart. That's right. I'm bringing Daryl Stewart on the show tonight. You know, he made Black Belt in 1968 under a man named David Yamens out of Galveston, Texas. You know, but here's the deal. Daryl didn't really start in karate, as we say. To me, he was an athlete beforehand because he was a surfer. Actually, Daryl was a professional surfer, and he was actually asked to go to a karate class one night by one of his friends, and he didn't really want to leave the waves, which if you're surfers out there, and as you know, you don't want to leave good sets, and apparently his friend talked him into doing it, and he went to the karate class, and look what he turned out to be. Well, what did he turn out to be? Well, he was a great fighter and one of the best fighters that Texas had. And then on top of that, now, right this very minute, he is actually the arbitrator for the National Black Belt League and literally runs it, but basically runs it for the Super Grants every year and has been for almost 20 years. But, you know, Daryl Stewart's an amazing guy, and he's done some pretty cool things in these past few years, especially getting involved with the Sport Karate Museum. He makes a famous certificate that is endorsed by the great James Stevens himself and also the Sport Karate Museum, and it's called Tex Kwon Do. Now, that's part of me being an adopted Texan to be able to be a part of that, but Tex Kwon Do was invented by basically Alan Steen and Fred Wren and guys that turned Taekwondo to Tex Kwon Do, meaning Texas Kwon Do. So he makes a special certificate for these incredible Texas fighters to let them realize that they're very special. But he's got more than that, just the vision of putting together certificates and honoring those guys. He is the rules arbitrator, and if you know how hard it is to run a tournament, imagine how hard it is to make a decision from two fighters to pay the entry fees, parents are there, and he has to make a final decision. I know because actually he took over the job that I was doing. I was the NBA arbitrator. And with that said, bringing on one of the great, great karate guys, I think I could say around the world because of the Super Grands and the World Championships he's been a part of, I'd like to bring on Mr. Daryl Stewart. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Gary, how you doing tonight?
Well, I'm losing my voice. I'm losing my voice, so if sometimes I sound like I'm whispering or something because I am. How are you doing? Did you recover from the weekend?
Oh, I tell you what, this weekend was just simply amazing in Houston and all the people that were there. I had such a great time, and I did want to say clear up one thing. I wasn't a professional surfer. I was a semi-professional surfer. There is a big difference. They make a lot more money than I did, but I did have a great time, and I'm still doing it. And just wanted to clear that up real quick. I didn't want somebody to get the wrong idea.
Well, let me make it clear to you. I mean, you're an arbitrator, so you got to put me in my place. So if I make a mistake of saying professional or semi, it's your position to put me in my place, Daryl. So I accept that. And with that said, you know I have a sense of humor, Daryl. I mean, you only know me for 30 years.
Oh, I know. I know.
But you see, off the bat, right off the interview, you put me in my place. So my listeners know that all I said about you about being an arbitrator is true. But we can talk about that a little bit later. Right now, I'll talk about surfing. Now, semi-professional, what exactly does that mean?
Well, that means I surf for teams out of California and, of course, Texas and all over. And they paid our entry fees. They paid our ways to the surfing tournaments and gave us baggies and clothes and shirts and stuff like this and surfboards. And we would try to sell them for the manufacturers, which we did when we go to other places.
Daryl, listen to me, honey. Listen to me. I have to disagree with you. That sounds like professional to me. It sounds like you were sponsored. That's really great. I mean, that was, what, in the 60s or 70s?
That was in the 60s and 70s.
Wow.
But I'm still surfing today. I'm still surfing today. So,
oh, really?
But, yeah, that was in the 60s and 70s, yeah.
Wow, that's cool that you got a sponsor back then. Now the story I said when I introduced you, tell me who the guy was that took you to that karate class when you guys were surfing. Who was the person that talked you to go to karate?
He's a good friend of mine out of Galveston, Texas, Buddy Rains, and we were surfing together then. And he got out of the water, and he called me in, and he said, Darryl, I want you to go with me. I said, where are we going? He said, well, we're going to oversee this guy and do some karate tonight. And I said, man, look at the waves. They're good. I mean, they're shoulder to head-high waves, and it's just peeling off.
Right.
And it's great. And I didn't want to get out of the water. And he said, oh, well, you need to go. And I said, well, why do I need to go? Look at the waves. He says, it's about fighting. I said, okay, I'll go. So I went, and from that time on, I've been in the martial arts, and I've never looked back, and I tell you, it's been an amazing time. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I've had such a great time.
Well, let's go back a little bit more to the level of martial arts. You didn't just train with a guys in a garage, or you might have been in a garage, but you trained in some pretty hardcore places with some really hardcore people. For instance, like this, you know, we're going to talk about Mr. Stevens a little bit later, but you trained with James Stevens and David Yeamans, and you were around people like Ernie Radar Smith and Ishmael Robles and all kinds of cool people in that area. You know, growing up with those Danny and David Bergeron, but how tough was it, you know, going through the, because you guys went through the trenches, the bare knuckle into the gloves like we all did, right? You started fighting So, but how was it like fighting with that group of guys I just mentioned?
Well, that group of guys, the training with them was like being in a wartime. Those boys didn't play, and they was definitely hardcore fighters and trained hard, and you know, they didn't back up. They didn't know the word back up. They thought there was only one way, and that was forward. And the whole time they're fighting, and so when you train with these guys, you took your licks as you were doing it. But would I trade it for anything? No. That was some great times.
Now, I got to ask you a question. I love talking about him. Mr. James Stevens, all the stories I heard about him dropping people with sweeps and takedowns, is that true?
Absolutely. He would be looking at you and in a blink of eye, grab your sleeve, and just sweep you off the floor. And by the time you hit the floor, he was already hitting you, if not once, already two or three times. And he was just beautiful. It was like poetry in motion. James was so fast and such an outstanding athlete and trained continuously.
Cool. You know, like I said, I think he's later on in the legend's name again, but I just wanted to ask about a legend like that. Now, you're involved with something now other than the arbitrational duties of the NBL and the National Blackboard League, but you've been involved with some very unique, and I say unique because he was one of the first real Black Hall of Fames that was introduced in the country to honor incredible people. And I'm talking about Professor Guerrera, and you also embarked with the Universal Black Hall of Fame. Tell me a little bit about that.
Universal Martial Arts Hall of Fame and Professor Guerra, Silverio Guerra. He's a great man. I've been with him since about 2000, and he honors martial artists that's been in the martial arts for a long time, giving it their self. And he's such a great guy, and he has the love of the martial arts and all the people that meet. And he likes to give back to the people. And the way he gives back to the people is by honoring them for their lifetime achievements of being in the martial arts and giving back to the community and helping the kids. And that's what it's all about. And Professor Gary does a great job doing that.
Okay, well, he is a great guy.
Yeah.
Professor Gary is a great guy, but I want to ask you a question. What about the Universal Black Belt Hall of Fame other than just that induction that goes on, man? He puts on a tournament.
He puts on vendors.
Yeah. And he has boxing.
Yeah,
he's seen boxing before. I've seen him do MMA.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen him do karate tournaments. I mean,
yeah,
that's an amazing weekend that he does. And the thing about it is that I know you've been doing it now for quite a few years, but I remember back in 1992, and you saw Dale Kirby this weekend. You know, you met Dale Kirby. You know, the swordman.
Well,
I remember when Dale Kirby, if you remember that show at the was it the not the Marriott, but the downtown one, right there by the west by the Galleria that he had in that first class hotel, and it was maybe 92 or 93, and Kirby came in and I cut cucumbers and bananas and Waker Patrick, and I remember that was the last one that I did. And you kind of took over the reins as the master of ceremonies and become vice president of the organization. And I'm real proud of that, of what you've done with that, Professor Guerrero, and what you guys have built. So with that plug, the Universal Black Belt Hall of Fame is done every August, correct? What time in August? Normally in the middle or what?
No, usually about the first or second week of August. And it's a great event. And we try to get people from all over the world to come to it, which they do. They come from all over the world, not just from Texas, not just from the United States. They come from everywhere.
Cool, cool, cool. So and, you do with the Universal Bible Hall of Fame, and now you travel not only for the Super Grands, you get to travel to some NBL tournaments that are around the state of Texas. Now, what's that been like for quite a few years? You put up with all the producers, or are you getting along with everybody?
Oh yeah. Usually the
who's been your toughest producer that you had to deal with in a situation at a tournament? And there's been some great NBL tournaments in Texas. What was the toughest guy you had to deal with?
Are you talking
about Darryl? I'm just asking, the toughest person you had to deal with. You had to kind of like maybe put them in the place because of a rule infraction. This is called Parts Unknown, Darryl. You got to answer the hard questions, brother. Okay.
Oh, no problem. It's not a problem. It's probably George Minshew or Tony Lopez. Both of them, you know, they're really strong, and they have opinions about things. And Jose Santa Maria, you know, they've all promoted good tournaments. And, of course, we've always had our disagreements and the way it should be. But those guys, they do such a great job and so much for the
Well, see, when you're in arbitration, I've watched you work for many years, and you really are a great arbitrator. I mean, very articulate. I noticed that the parents, they're involved, and they're screaming at you. Oh, yeah. And then you got the coaches, and they're involved, and they're screaming at you. Yeah. And then you got the guy that's supervising that particular ring, or, you know, how boys sets it like a general fighting in a wartime, and you got someone else that comes. He comes over, and he finds out if you need a help or assistant and the other arbitrators, and all of a sudden you got all this chaos that's going on. And I know this, and I'm going to say this on your behalf. You don't care about any of that except for the competitor. You care about those kids that are going through that turmoil right now because someone decided that it was an infraction of a rule, because you are a kid advocate. I know that. I can say this, and people don't realize this, but I'm going to say this. Back in the day, and I'm going to say back in the day, in the early 90s, you know, we created the Kids Expo, which was part of the Astrodome and everything, and you were instrumental. You and the Bergeron brothers would come out and perform on stage with those kids, and I'd have sometimes 40, 50 kids on stage. And
absolutely. That was fun.
But you
were
a TV advocate back then. I knew that. So that's the question I want to ask you. Parts unknown question. Not to be nostalgic, but what was it like performing on stage with all those kids back in the 90s? Because you were a big kid yourself, but what was it like? What did you feel like? What was it like back then?
Well, I was looking at these kids, and they're out there doing stuff with you, you know, I just wanted to be a part of it. Like you said, I'm a big kid, and that's why I enjoy working with kids and being around them and giving back to the martial arts, because being around the kids is what it's all about. If we can keep the kids off the street, out of trouble, giving them a positive attitude, I always like to say martial arts is good for the mind, body, and soul, and it'll help you in everything you do and everything you achieve. The martial arts will help you. If you believe it, you can achieve it. You just got to work at it. I don't give nothing for free. I don't give my students rank for free. I mean, you have to work for it. And if you're not ready, you don't get it. But working with the kids, you know, make them enjoy it. I always wanted to teach a class that was enjoyable to the kids and have fun with the kids. If you have fun with the kids, they're going to enjoy it and they're going to stay. So that's what it's all about. Just like you, you're the same way.
Well, yeah, I am. I think the kid is the future, and I think it's worth saving one kid at a time the same way, you know, we protect the history, the Warriors one at a time. It is all about one, and it does. They degenerate, and it turns into like a domino, and that's great because you get to help a lot of people, and that's why I love working with children because they're so hungry to learn about martial arts. And the mystique of it still, of martial arts. But the fun part is this, like I was saying earlier, you used to come up on stage, you'd be my stunt guy, you'd break boards over your head, you'd throw kicks, and you let kids beat you up, and you always, you never give me a point when I fought those kids. That's something I thought about.
That's
what
I always felt like the kids got the point before you did. You was a little bit slower.
But, yeah, they all beat me up, I guess. But, you know, that was a great thing we did back there for those children. And now they're all grown up. That was cool about this weekend, too. You got to see all the kids grown up. Well, now they're 40, 50 years old. And a couple of them came up to me and they said, Mr. Lee, that's not Daryl Stewart over there. I said, yeah, it is. Go say hello to him. I can't believe I haven't seen him in 30 years. So, you affect kids' life and they remember what you do. But I want to go back to fighting now. I want to go back to fighting Daryl Stewart. Now, I heard a rumor, and then I found out it was true, because I get to hang out with my friend Jim Buten every now and then when I go to Oklahoma City. And I did my research like I do everything, and I found out that you were fighting Jim Buten, and you actually broke his arm in two. Tell me that story.
Well, we was fighting in Dallas, me and Jim came up and, of course, was there. And we got into the ring and started going. And I could, when they said, Hachimed, begin, and I threw a few kicks. And not really hard. I just kind of wanted to see what Mr. Buten had. And I could see in his eyes he was thinking, this guy ain't got nothing. Because if you know Jim, he was tall. He had long legs. He had arms that reached out about 12 and a half foot. And so I said, well, the next time I come in, I'll be coming in a little bit stronger than I did. And I think he just misblocked something, and I probably did break his arm. I'm not going to say I did it on purpose.
No, you probably did. You broke it in two. You did.
Well,
I mean, and don't apologize about it because it's a story that's part of the history books, but it's a fun story to talk about because Jim Buten's this one tough person. He laughs about it. And I get to rib you about it because, you're one of the nicest guys I know, but I know you were a tough fighter. But people tell me something else about you. You had this tremendous ability to just do full splits. So if you do full splits, are people dumb enough not to realize that you can kick people in the head hard? So
you're surprised.
Yeah.
I go to tournaments a lot of times, and most of the time I'm wearing a suit with cowboy boots and a big belt buckle and hat. And Cindy Gallio is one of the great ladies of Texas. She come up to me and she said, Mr. Stewart. And I said, yes, Miss Gallio, what you need? And she said, you see that older lady sitting about 8 floors up in the bleachers up there? And I look over and this older lady waves at me. And I said, yes, ma'am, I do. And she says, that lady, I was telling her you could do the split. She says, he can't do the splits. He's too old. And she said, I told her you could. And I looked over the lady and I kind of put my hands up and she goes like, you can't do that. So I just dropped to the floor and did the splits. And when I did, her jaw dropped on the floor. She was just amazed. And then she come down later.
I like to plug Miss Gallio too, Miss Cindy Gallio, who is the mother of the famous Chris Gallio. And the head of the founders of the GOP,
great
GOP
team.
What a great team they were. But Cindy is, and Chris's dad was part of it, but not as coachability as Cindy was. Cindy was very, very vocal, and she didn't let anybody walk over any team member. She protected them as if they were their own. And I really liked her a lot, and I still like her. I think she's been a big asset to Texas Karate, without a doubt. Now, going back to your fighting experience, go ahead.
Real quick, Cindy is the commissioner for the NBL for the National Black Belt League still today.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I work with her all the time.
Yeah, that's probably why she has so much authority in her presence. That's good. That's cool. But yeah, the GOP team, I think about great fighters that was on that team. And even like Jason Holmes, he was on the GOP for a while. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
But hey, now let's go back to one more question about Daryl Stewart's fighting. Who was the toughest guy you ever faced?
Well, I would say James Buten was probably one of the toughest ones. I fought Bung Yi. Bung Yi. Mike Maxwell, you know.
Tough guy.
He was a great fighter. Yeah, tough guy. Travis Everett, you know.
Oh, Travis Everett, man. He's Texas guy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Jose Santa Maria.
Did you fight Jose? Really?
Oh, yeah. Lots of times.
Oh, really? Yeah. You fought Jose Santa Maria. How cool is that? Now, what was his technique? What was his favorite thing to do? Was he a kicker or a puncher?
I would say more of a puncher. I would say more
of a
puncher.
He didn't have that big afro back then, did he? Did he have that big afro?
Yeah. Hello.
He did. That's funny.
Yeah, absolutely. And
I tried to get him this weekend, Daryl, but, you know, he's been he just couldn't make it. And
yeah,
I was sad because I wanted
him to be there too.
Yeah.
And a great kata guy from back that day, Dan Baker. I know you know Professor Dan Baker.
Yes, Dan Baker. Tony Lasson, Kaji Kempo. Yeah, he was more than average or even super. He was incredible. Yeah. You know, what was really cool, and I'm proud of this, and I'm only saying this because you're an NBL arbitrator and you're part of that family. The first NBL world breaking champion in 1993 in New Orleans at the Clarion Hotel, I was very lucky to have won against Gambino and won the title in the ring. And afterwards, it was Texas guys. If you remember, it was Dan Baker, David Johnson, the gentleman that was under Mike Maxwell. I forgot his name. Golly bum, there was quite a few guys that won breaking titles from Texas, NBA World breaking titles. And I'm proud of that because breaking's it's a tough game, you know. Did you like the breaking demo Saturday night with the bricks? That was kind of cool, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Me and Fred Simon, who was there. Hey, Fred Simon. We were looking at that, and we were talking about some breaking we was doing back in the 60s and 70s without space.
Yeah.
You know, just and.
Well, you mentioned Fred Simon, Daryl. I gotta say something about Mr. Simon. Didn't he make you cry? He made me cry when he sang the national anthem.
Oh, absolutely. He's got a beautiful voice. Absolutely.
Yeah, for people, my listeners that know Mr. Fred Simon, he was the first Afro-American to become black belt under June Ree, Grandmaster Ree. That's right. Back in the time, lots of prejudice and lots of hatred. He was the first one to make black belt. I'm really proud of the fact that he's been a big part of my career here in Texas. And I'm his little baby, but didn't you know what was amazing too? When he sang the national anthem, everybody stood up, and a lot of people had their hands over their heart. And you know, speaking of the Armed Forces awards that we did to establish it, because every year now we're going to do 10 Armed Forces guys and 10 police officers. You got one this year because you were a CB. How was that this weekend to see the military from the Army, Navy, Marines, Green Berets, Tunnel Rats, Jet Fighters, Colonels, Silver Star earners receive an award from the Sport Karate Museum? How do you feel about that?
I thought it was awesome. They all loved it. They had such a great time being there. They was all so glad to be honored by the Museum of Sport Karate and to be part of it and get together. And I heard a lot of them say that this is the first time they come, but they would be coming back. So We look forward to seeing you.
I appreciate that answer. I do. I appreciate that answer, but listen to the question a little bit deeper. Remember, this is parts unknown, okay? I wanted you to tell me how you felt being a service person. Did you go to Nam or not? Did you go to Nam? Vietnam?
Well, I was in Nam. I didn't actually go to Nam. I went to Diego Garcia.
Okay. Well, then you experienced that time period, okay? That's my point. What I'm saying is the guys that were in the room, listen to the question so you can answer it. The guys that were in the room that were service guys, and a lot of them were from Nam, and how do you think they felt, and how did you feel receiving something from the sport company to honor your service to your country and what you gave to your country? That's the question, honey.
It brought tears to my eyes because when we came home, we weren't always well thought of. People wanted to spit on us and call us baby killers and everything else. And to be to get recognized and get an award in front of your peers, it's such a great feeling. And most of the most of the military people had tears in their eyes as they was receiving these awards.
Given out to you by Jim Harris and Dean Piles, Colonel Phil Torres and Neil Hardin. All memorable service people. That's pretty cool, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's just a strange feeling when you walk into one of those awards.
Cool. Let me tell you something. I'm going to take a short break here, and I've got to hit some sponsors real quick. And I'm going to be back, and we're going to play the Legends Name Game. And the Legends Name Game is a lot of fun. What I do is I hit you with a name, and you got 2 minutes, just like a fight, Daryl. Okay, to tell me what you think about that person. And I know you're not negative about nobody. You're one of the nicest guys I know. But I'm going to hit you with a couple surprises and a couple people that you know, and you just tell me how you feel about them. That's the neat thing about the Legends Name Game. It's spontaneous, on the spot, and you just talk from your heart. But if you go past 2 minutes, you're going to be in big trouble next time I see you. You understand that? Before I go through my commercial break, I want to say something to you. And I say this in love and respect. I feel that you're one of the best negotiators in martial arts for a situation that's a high snafu situation, uncontrollable, looks like it's out of the park. No one can control it. And you come in and settle the moment. And I want to say before I come back to you and punch in the game, it's a real joy talking to you and knowing you over all these years and knowing that you can take that volatile situation, calm them down with the facts, and one leaves with the decision, but they both leave happy because they were treated professionally, but they don't even realize it until afterwards. So anyway, with that said, I'll be back in a minute. Okay, so don't go anywhere, okay?
Okay, I appreciate that.
Okay, good. I'll be right back. Hey, guys that are listening, we got to take a minute and to thank a couple people that are very important to create the Living Legends 25th anniversary that we did this year. And the first person I like to thank is George Minshew for allowing me to put his career on the line and put his friends and his peers, his people he grew up with, his family, and together and honor a great man like George Minshew. So thank you, George. I'd like to thank next Ms. Darlene McPherson Pagels and Mark Pagels, who are my personal sponsors and share this karate studio with my son, Garrett, who, again, I thank him also. But Darlene is a very special individual. She's not only a master karate instructor, but she cares so much about passing on the knowledge in a very, very unique way and create champions and create these incredible group of kids that are just going to mold our future. And her vision in helping Kata Wars and helping me make the right decisions throughout the past couple of years, and particularly 2 years that we've done this together, I want to say thank you so much. Mark Pagels, her lovely husband, the pastor of the Anahuac Church, my dear friend, and thank you for blessing the event and giving your heart to understanding that the event was a an event that had a spiritual flavor to it. And you started that by what you did for me, and I appreciate it so much. I also like to thank Mr. Mike Dillard from Century Martial Arts. And this is a personal thank you because he's been with me from the very beginning. He saw the vision of the Sport Karate Museum, and Mr. Dillard has been there along with the Century product and the Century Fitness. But Mr. Dillard is just one of those unique guys that is not only a part of that history that he lived it, but he's my personal friend in believing that the Sport Karate Museum was a place for America to see. And that, with that hint, we'll go on that with another story. All the guys that came in from all the different states, I think we had 23 states represented in the last count, all the great fighters that came in, and from the point fighters, the full contact fighters, to the pioneer kickboxers, to the guys that made a living eating McDonald's and living at Motel 6 hotels and scrounging for their entry fee that were there. I love you, and thank you for making an appearance, and it means so much to me. Thank you to Neil Harden, not only for being a full-fledged sponsor, but being my brother and being my dear friend with the Hawaiian attitude and never leaving my side, always taking care of anything I needed toward the Sport Karate Museum and being there this weekend. And congratulations on your Instructor of the Year. Two special ladies, Terry Williams and Mikey Rowe Moore. And not just because they're women and they did the seminar Fight Like a Girl, which was probably the largest seminar of the event in the seminars that we did. But they came in Wednesday night and literally set up the museum display, which was an amazing display of history of karate from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. And they came in and set up physically the museum. And it was just an incredible display. Thank you, Terry Williams. Thank you, Mikey Rowe Moore. And I really do love you both. Now, Dana, I'm not going to forget you out. My male ambassador of the year, and that's what you are. Thank you for being there and just supervising the ideas that you share with me. You know, you're not a loud person, but you're a very strong person. And when you say something, I listen. You kind of like when they say EF says something, people listen. When Dana Moore says something, I listen to it, and I thank you very much. I want to say this, too. You know, the people that tested Friday night, Ishmael Robles, Tor Dorsey, and Jimmy Gatto de Barris, and the people that were in the underbelts, particularly those three that were under the AKBBA lineage of Dr. Kirby and Dr. Yates, Mr. Alan Steen, a founder, Phil Wyman that was there. I want you to know that you three were just, you knocked my socks off, but everybody in the room was amazing at your display of karate do. From Jimmy's crisp sidekick, which he hadn't changed in 40 years, to Ishmael Robles' vision of following through every time he threw a punch or kick and be able to be hit you with left hand, right foot, left foot, and Troy Dorsey's indomitable spirit, that vision of Troy Dorsey fighting Ishmael Robles, all the cameras were out, and everyone was focused on seeing two great champions face each other for maybe the last time publicly, and they just were amazing to watch hit each other. It took you back to ESPN and the PKA and Joe Cordy's vision of what he did, which both of them were great champions. So thank you three. Musketeers, you three Musketeers, Ishmael, Troy, and Jimmy. You know, it was a great event, and it's just going to get bigger and better only because the Sport Karate Museum believes in you. They really, you know, we really do. So for more information, if you just want to see our site, go to www.sportkaratemuseum.org, and you can call directly 713-483-0476. And one more statement. you know, we did something really spectacular, which is going to be on the show. But go to Amazon.com and check out Memoirs of American Samurai. It tells the story of the Sport Karate Museum and the beginning part of how we saw the vision to do something to honor the pioneers and legends. And, you know, we're very lucky to have people to step up and care. So for all the sponsors, all the vendors, everyone that worked and created the adventure this weekend at the Hilton Galleria, the Sport Karate Museum thanks you and blesses you and tells them in their heart that we're just going to make it bigger and better next year, next September the 29th. Well, with that said, I'm going to bring back Daryl, and we're going to go back to the Legends name game. Daryl, are you there, brother?
Hey, Gary, yeah, I'm here. I wanted to say one other thing, too. How about
yes,
that homie that Dean Piles and Taurus and Billy Smith did? Was that something, huh?
Are you talking about the haka?
Yeah.
Okay, you know, I was going to talk about that, but I'm going to go ahead and talk about it. Here we go. We got the biggest country guy, lovable guy in the world, bad dude when he's fighting Billy Smith from Burleson, Texas. You got John Morris, the toughest guy I know from tennis, Texas Punishment, 3 or 4 times world champion in jiu-jitsu. You got Colonel Torres. You know, you got Daryl Stewart, who were, you know, we know that he's one of the toughest guys in the world. Then you got, you know, the incredible, my student, Mr. Dean Piles. And you guys get out there, do a haka. Now, for people who don't know what haka is, it came from New Zealand. And it's a warrior's cry given to a special individual to give them a love of ohana and peace within the frame of a warrior. It's literally a ritual of saying that you're going to combat, you come out of combat, but you come back a better person. But it's done in a very unique way. And you guys were just incredible. I don't know what to say. I'm still flabbergasted by it because Hawaii adopted it, and it's known, even though it was born in New Zealand, it's known as a Hawaiian ritual. And you guys took me home, Daryl. You took me home for a couple minutes, and it's very, very emotional because it was a total surprise. You know, I didn't expect that from you boys. I mean, come on. That really kind of made history that night. You guys doing what you did. That was pretty cool. Not the haka itself, but you guys doing the haka. That was pretty incredible. And you know what, Daryl? You could have been hired as a dancer because you were pretty good in sync. You were pretty good. I mean, you guys, you practiced at least 5 minutes, right? You can tell.
Yeah.
No, you guys did good.
Really 5 minutes. We had a great time, though. It was fun.
Oh, it was the highlight of the show besides the video that Jamie did. But I appreciate that. But here we go, the Legends Name Game. You ready?
I guess so.
We talked about him earlier. I got 2 minutes to talk about Mr. James Stevens.
Mr. James Stevens, what a great guy. Martial artist, takedown sweeps, hip throws, over the shoulder. What a great guy. Great sparring partner. We sparred together many, many times. And he's a true warrior. He trains hard. He still trains hard and loves the martial arts and everything. He loves working with kids, hardcore, strictly hardcore. He don't play games. You go to his class, you work. He is such a great friend of mine, and I can call James and say, hey, I need you to be here. He'll be there. If I tell him I need somebody to back me up, he's there. That's a great guy. James Stevens, I love you.
True story, when I was hardcore kata and, you know, in the top 10 and stuff, and I was running nothing but Japanese kata, you know, Kakudai, Jihan, so on. Even though Mr. Stevens, you know, he didn't do those katas, he was very aware of them. And I would always go up to him every time, whether he was the head judge or not, and I'd always ask his opinion. I'd always get his feeling of what needed to be done. And you know what? He never turned me down. He always was there. He always said something constructively to make it better and stronger. And I really consider him a mentor as far as making things happen in my vision of kata. Okay, let's go on. Let's go to two of my favorite people, and I know we lost one, but the Bergeron brothers. Talk about the Bergeron brothers.
The Bergeron brothers, man. Those guys, I tell you what, both of them are great martial artists. They're great athletes anyway. They were just like me. They were semi-professional surfers. They did the same thing I did. We traveled all across the country surfing. And one day I said, hey, you guys are going with me tonight. And they said, well, where are we going? And I said, well, it don't matter. You just going with me. So I took them to karate class. Well, when I took them to karate class, just like me, it was natural for them. And they trained and they become, as you know, great martial artists, fighters, kata people. Great to have at tournaments because they work. They know what they're doing. And such incredible athletes. I mean, wow. Everything they do is incredible. They were great surfers, good friends. And if you wanted a backup, they're there. They don't back up.
Well, you know, you keep missing all these backups, Daryl. I mean, you're getting a lot of fights where you had to have backup, man. Were you a troublemaker? I'm just kidding.
No,
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I used to bounce a lot in clubs. So.
Oh, okay. Know. Okay. Yeah, you definitely need backup in that. I was just being a smart aleck. That's all. I'm sorry. I haven't been a smart aleck yet because I haven't talked about the puka shells. When I bring those up, I'm going to be a real smart aleck, okay? But we'll talk about that in a minute. Okay. Hey, let's talk about George Minshew. What has George Minshew done for you? Come on. Talk about him.
And George Minshew has been a friend of mine for – I think he told me he was born in 1928. I'm not really sure that that's right. Maybe
28, 27, something like that, yeah.
He told me this weekend that he was 37, and I asked him, was that
right,
on one side or the other?
37, 25 years ago. 40 years ago, I'm sorry. Yeah. 40 years ago.
He was he was always in my corner and was helping me, and such a great individual, and he's been promoting tournaments. As you know, the Karate Olympics is one of the biggest tournaments around. And he's the one that said, okay, well, we're going to get a new arbitrator. And they tested a bunch of us. And George says, well, we want you to be the arbitrator for the TNT, Texas National Tour.
Right.
And I did that for years and years and years. And still doing it. And I told George this weekend it was because of you that I got stuck. And I said, when you go to a tournament, you have a lot of friends. And then when you leave and you're the arbitrator, you may not have any friends at the end of the day. But usually the competitors get over it. They're good about it. You know, I'm always for the fighters. That's what it's all about. You know, you want to get everybody a fair chance. And if they feel like they got a fair chance, they're okay with it. You know, they might get mad then. But
I think George was one of the most influential people, not only in Texas karate, but a lot of people around the country, because what he did for people in business and in, as far as karate goes. My total respect goes to George Minshew.
And I love
that
you.
Because, sir?
I said, and I love you, George Minshew.
Yeah, we love you, George, if you listen to the show. Let's go to Clint Schubert. Now, I haven't heard of Clint Schubert. Tell me about who Clint Schubert is.
Well, Clint Schubert was coming out of our studio, and he was just a big, pumped-up, tough guy. And Clint Schubert trained with David Yeamans, myself, James Stevens, the Bergeron boys. And we would go to a tournament a lot of times with just us four or five, and they'd have 10-man teams. And sometimes we might win first place. Sometimes we might win second or third, but we was only a four or five-man team where everybody else had 10. These boys was tough. I mean, they worked hard. They always did, and they're always great martial artists. David Yeamans created some great martial artists from this area, and I'm proud to say that he was my instructor. And Clint Schubert
now,
was one of them.
You mentioned you fought this guy. I fought him for a bunch of times too, but he was real tough. He's up there near the Beaumont area. Mr. Mike Maxwell. Tell me about Mike.
Mike was an awesome fighter, good technician. I fought him at Karate Olympics. I don't know what year it was. And he was just coming on strong. And at that time, he was on top of his game. And I had just come back from the military and when I fought him. And we had a great match. But he's a great individual. And been reaching out to him in the last couple of years. He's had a little bit of problems with his health, but he seems to be doing better. But Mike Maxwell is a great guy from over in the Beaumont area.
I know that you have to make decisions, and there's important. And I one of the rules that I never agreed upon, and it's okay. I mean, I was the first guy to be disqualified with the 4 key eye rule, but we won't talk about that because you weren't an arbitrator there. But I am going to talk about the infraction of wearing necklaces. Now, everyone knew back in the day that I wore traditional puka shells, and I wore these puka shells because it's my heritage. You know, I was Hawaiian. I was proud of it. And puka shells symbolizes my home. I mean, you can't get more personal than that. So a couple of times when I was told to take them off by you, I would take them off, and it was good, and I understood, and I could take them off. But I remember one, it might have been Yellow Rose, or I don't know where it was. I forget. I wore a pair that could not take off because they were personally given to me by another black belt who I won't mention, but well-known and very prominent, and I just couldn't take them off. And I guess I did. I put them underneath the shirt so you couldn't see them. Well, Daryl, you knew I had them on, and you disqualified me anyway. You made me lose my division. And disqualified me anyway because I had those puka shells on because I broke the rule. You could not wear puka shells, or you could not wear necklaces during competition. So, yes, I broke the rule. But I just want you to know publicly you broke my heart disqualifying me that day. I have forgiven you since then, but you broke
my
heart.
Well, I'm sorry, Jerry, but you know how I am about the rules.
Well, you did.
That's Jason
Holmes.
But
it's okay. I'm a bigger man. I'm a bigger man. At your roast, now, we roasted you a couple years back, and I believe I put puka shells in the hands of various people and ripped them off, and puka shells went everywhere on the floor. Now, that wasn't very funny for people who had to perform, but it made my point that, you know, you did something to me that I had to forgive you for, and I certainly do, because you were very strong about the rules. Yeah. Leading up to the question, Daryl, you've been a part of the Sport Karate Museum from the very beginning. You're one of the original history generals, and you've been a part of the vision and the journey. I'm going to ask you kind of a blunt question. What's it like, Daryl Stewart, being a part of that and helping make some decisions that you have that makes the Sport Karate Museum bigger and better?
I'll tell you what, being part of the Sports Karate Museum, to me, has been a great joy. I enjoy working with you and helping you on my small part of whatever I might do to bring this together and be a part of it and be a part of something that so many lives are affected with and so many people are a part of. The Sports Karate Museum, as we say, is protecting one warrior at a time or a bunch at a time. But there's so many people involved in the Sport Karate Museum, and just to be part of that legacy is amazing to me.
Well, what do you think about that guy that invented it? I mean, that crazy Hawaii guy.
You put up with that crazy Hawaiian guy.
See right there. You put up with me over talking to you. I'm on a live radio show, and you want to argue with me, you know. But this is what we do, listeners. We're, you know, when you're best friends with someone, you not only debate with someone, you downright argue. Daryl and I, we've had some pretty good arguments, but it's always come out to be the benefit and the best for the person that we're arguing for. And I can tell you right now, you're one of the best friends I've ever had, as far as being there for Sport Karate Museum, and I appreciate you personally. But how do you put up with my craziness? I'm just curious.
Well, as I always say, you know, whether you love Gary or hate him, I always say that I love you because of everything that you do, and even in all your craziness and all the stuff that you do, but look what the people that you bring together and how you do it sometimes amazes me. And somebody says, well, do you really think somebody's going to be there? And I said, if you want to be part of an event, you need to make plans to be there, because trust me, they're going to be there. The people are going to come. Gary's got a magnetism about you that just draws people to you. So, you know, whether they love you or hate you, they have to appreciate you, the both.
Not about me, Daryl. Here I am jab slapping you again. It's not about me, little brother. It's about you. It's about the history. It's about the pioneers. It's about the guys like you that developed it in the days when I came along. Because I was right after you. I mean, you're a little bit older than I am, but not much. But hey, come on. I know you come from that blood and guts era. But what I'm saying is, it's never been about me, Daryl. I'm gonna argue. I'm gonna hit you in the face with a cross that you didn't block. It's about the guys that invented it and the women that invented it. And after all through the years, we have a place that we can say the history's kept there. I mean, it's like this weekend, you know, Steve Gibson, God bless him, presented the Silver Star to the museum this weekend to be protected forever, to leave his legacy in the Sport Karate Museum. His Silver Star, which is the third highest honor that the military gives to someone. I mean, you understand, because you're military. How cool was that? How do you feel about seeing something like that at the event this weekend?
Oh, I thought that was awesome. Being there this weekend was just so much fun to spend the time with these awesome pioneers that I've known most of my life. I say most of my life, just about the majority of my life. And being part of it, being part of the Blood and Guts and being part of the museum is such an honor. And those guys, everybody was thrilled about it. And one quick thing, when me and James Buten fought in that match, Mike Stone was actually the center referee. And you talk about a legend. Now, Mike Stone is a legend. And he is such a great gentleman. And I wanted to be sure and bring that up because I respect Mr. Stone so much.
Why do they call you Bigfoot? Because you do karate or because you surf?
Because of karate. Somebody said, well, your foot's not that big. And my instructors would say, well, when his foot's upside your head, it's pretty big. So I was pretty good at when I was young, on that left forward leg.
So who started calling you Bigfoot?
My instructor, David Gaiman.
Okay, cool. So you like that nickname all these years?
Oh, yeah, I still carry it.
You know, you're famous for saying, welcome to Texas. No, you don't say that. You say, welcome to the great state of Texas. What makes Texas so great in your eyes? What makes Texas so great in your eyes? Why do you say that every time you're around anybody that's around from the country, or just when you're yourself? Because you're an amazing person as far as hospitality goes. But why do you say great state of Texas instead of just say Texas?
Because to me, there's no greater state to be from than the great state of Texas. I'm Texas proud, and to be from Texas, one thing, but to be a proud Texan. And I know there's a lot of us around here that are proud Texas. And that's why I always say, from the great state of Texas, welcome to the great state of Texas. Because to me, it is a great state. And Texas kind of stands alone by itself. So, you know, to me, that's what it's great about. For example, real quick, Hurricane Harvey came through here. It hit 200 miles south of here in Rockport and right out of Corpus and traveled up 3 days and put 9 trillion gallons of water in this area, and all the Texans came together and helping one another, and people came from all over the United States and everywhere to help Houston and all of the Gulf Coast that was hit by Hurricane Harvey. What a great feeling, and to be proud a proud Texan.
Well, you were out there. I saw where you were out there helping Al and other people, and we were talking about
Jamie
Al Garson, famous instructor from the Galveston area, and I know he lost his house and lost his body school, and it was pretty devastating on that. But you were out there helping people. I saw you out there, and you know, we were pretty hard.
And Danny Bergstrom lost his same way.
Well, yeah, Danny's got the heart of a lion too. Absolutely. Well, you know what, Daryl? Thank you so much for this interview tonight. I appreciate it so much, and you know, taking time and being part of the history that we have. But you know, the Sport Card Museum has a focus. We've been saying for years, protect the history one warrior at a time. But you know, Hansi Bowen and I both have a vision with this book that we created. He created it. I just helped market it. It's called The Who's Who in Martial Arts, and it came before him by a gentleman named Jan Wallendorf and Dale Brooks, who created it back in the 80s. And actually, I'm in the first one. I don't know if you know that or not, the very first one. But last year, they put together The Who's Who in Martial Arts, and it's really a book not about how many awards you won or who you are in the sense of how many tournaments and championships. Has nothing to do with that. You list that, of course, but it's really about your story. What you did to get to that position where you felt that you could write about something that you felt you accomplished and be proud of. And then when you put that many stories together and the vision of what Hansi Bowen has done as far as making this a public thing that people realize, great people in martial arts, then you've got this book, Who's Who in the Martial Arts, and it can be published on Amazon or Century Martial Arts, or go to Barnes & Noble, or you call Jesse Bowen directly, Hansi Bowen directly. But we've got a couple of new books out, the new edition, and that's really cool. He introduced it at the Legends. He actually did it before, but the Legends this year, people were going crazy for it, and that's the Legends book.
I bought one.
Did you see it?
I bought one.
I'm sure he'll talk about it in a few minutes when I bring him on. But he also introduced his new mindset book, and this is really a lot of really interesting too, because you know people forget about the mental capabilities of the martial arts, and he goes in depth with this to help you understand this as something that you maybe not understood before. But when he gets done with you, he's such an educator, Hansi Bowen is, and he'll talk about his new book too. But anyway, as that said, Daryl, thank you again for being on the show tonight and letting me be part of that Sport Karate Museum history. Thank you for not making fun of me, even though I made fun of you, but the puka shells and the arbitration skills. But one more thing, and I talked about it in the beginning, I got to plug it again. What did you think about Bubba Kubitschek?
Oh, I loved it. The kids absolutely loved it. And actually, the referees and the judges, we had just as much fun watching the kids busting the bubbles. I mean, it's amazing. I had instructors say, I don't have one of those, but when I go home, I will have a couple at my studio because I will start doing that for my kids. It's such a, I mean, you can do everything. You get quite a workout just busting those bubbles. As Ralph Joski was there this weekend and Steve Powell, and they was talking about it, and they said they just loved it.
Well, it teaches the kid discipline. It teaches the kid support of the other fighter. It teaches them to do kicks and punches and score points. It teaches respect when you shake hands. It teaches them rules and by the way, it teaches
we
them
even
arbitration.
Have a couple arbitration
the stage
if
fight.
You remember.
Well, the stage arbitration thing that you did with Randy Dugas Sr. and you guys, that was so much fun. And that's what I'm saying. It taught the little kids, because it's only made for the 10-year-olds and under. It taught them how rules are used. And so the secret about Bubba Kumite, and I'll just tell my secret, if you do it, you can buy a bubble machine, and kids can get out there and kick. That's fine. Have fun. But the hand-picked, the judges, like Jamie Cashin, like Phil Torres, like Dean Piles, like Daryl Stewart, Mr. Billy Smith, who are kid advocates that really care about children. They really care. They don't just say it, and sometimes they don't, but it shows.
Oh, yeah.
And Bubba Kumite was a big hit. Absolutely. Well, I'm going to bring on Mr. Bowen right now. But, again, thank you so much for being a part of this show and this format. And if you want to listen to Daryl tomorrow morning, you can. And he'll also be in the archives list. And with that said, Hachi Bowen, are you on the air, sir?
Hey, Gary, real quick, thank you for having me on your show.
Yes, sir. You got one more thing? Go ahead.
I said thank y'all for having me on the show with Jesse Bowen and you, and I appreciate it. And, Jesse, I enjoyed talking with you this weekend, and Gary, I enjoyed talking with you tonight. And I'll let you go, and love you guys.
Well, don't hang up. I mean,
hey,
Mr. Bowen wants to say hello to you, too. Go ahead, Mr. Bowen.
Hey, Daryl. It was great, you know, as always, you guys. You know, I love Texas. You know,
cool.
All my friends are in Texas. You know, like
you
said, I really do appreciate you guys. Hospitality was great. The venue was great. The event was great. The people were amazing.
Well, thank you.
You know,
thank
I
you.
Really had a blast. I wish I'd stayed a little bit longer. I left early on Sunday morning. Wish I had stayed a little bit longer. But like I said, I really did enjoy it. It was a great weekend.
Well, you know, I will tell you this. It's really kind of interesting. I don't know who you talked to, but you were talking to someone. Oh, I know who it was. Randy McFarland came up to me, and he said, Mr. Lee, who's the gentleman over there selling the books? And I said, well, that's Hachi Jesse Bowen. He's my producer, and he also Who's Who in Martial Arts, and, you know, he's an entrepreneur, a supreme entrepreneur. He says, he's an educator, isn't he? Oh, I said, absolutely. He is an educator. He said, well, I was over there listening to him talk without him knowing that I was listening. And he's very, very well in tune with what he talks about as far as the process. And I said, well, you need to ask him about mindset. I don't know if he came over and talked to you or not, but that's the impression that you had, you know, this weekend to people that had never met you before, to walk up and talk about the book and everything. But, you know, I thank you, Hachi Bowen, for your compliments and your inspiration. That always, when I think about the radio show and what we created, I think about Mr. Jeff Smith, I think about Mr. Joe Corley, and, of course, I think about Hachi Jesse Bowen. And with that said...
And a big smile you always have on your face.
Yeah, do what?
And that big smile that he always has on his face.
Yes.
He's always
smiling. I've never seen him not
smile. One of the things, I was listening to a program this morning, and it was saying, you know, how do you stay healthy and hopefully live a long time is just be happy. And I really think, you know, it's a whole movement that we are creating just around that. You know, a lot of people, Daryl, as you were saying, that some people were crying whenever, you know, had tears in the eyes when they received their awards. We're really making a difference by making people happy. And to be recognized is always about, you know, being happy. And, you know, and that's what the museum has done, is by recognizing these people, giving them a second chance. You know, they have already served their day, but their day is not over, because at the museum, you know, they're being recognized. And that's what the museums are for. They're for these historical things and these historical people that, you know, they, if not, they get swept away and they're never really known. You know, the Who's Who book is about the same thing. It's a place of storage of the information and knowledge and who these people are, and, or who they were in many cases, and what they've done and their contribution. You know, what will people say about you when you're gone? And I think that both of these, the museum and the book, you know, they work hand in hand. And I think it's really, they're both a blessing, you know.
Oh, I
agree. You're selling the book. It's a blessing. They're both a blessing.
Well, the blessing is having people like yourself have the vision to make it happen for guys like me. You know, I'm a lucky Hawaii boy, but I'm only blessed because I remember people like Ed Parker, Jerry Pittington, Aaron Banks, people who put on great events and were the people that set it up for people like Mr. Joe Corey, who has been a mentor of mine since he created the Battle of Atlanta from day one. You know, the Living Legends is based upon that, but the museum is the heart of what we do. And the Sport Karate Museum is based upon honoring Sport Karate, because we are all Asian influenced. As I was saying earlier, the new cliche, we're all Asian influenced, but sport karate was born in America. And that's what makes it special, because I think people are realizing that with all the media attention and, you know, doing 20 years of Living Legends, people realize that sport karate has a place in America because we've got it. And look what it took to. It took a long time, but in 2020, we're being introduced as a spectator sport in the Karate Olympics. And I that's amazing, because the world is not ready. They're going to be mesmerized by kata. They're going to mesmerize it now. They're going to be punching and takedowns and sweeps, and they're going to see it real karate do. So we've come a long way, Virginia, as they say. So.
And Gary, don't forget about Judge Roy Kerbin. What a great man. And he used to have a great tournament, seeing a great fighter.
I never forget Roy Kerbin. Roy Kerbin is the reason why I was sponsored by Hawaiian Punch and drove it to Infinity the first year when he came here. He was responsible for that. Roy Kerbin was my guest speaker Saturday night. And Judge Roy Kerbin, he did a great job speaking, telling the war stories and, you know, presenting himself, because he was a top 10 professional fighter. And, but, you know, Mr. Kerbin was one of the guys that came up to me and said, you know, seeing Mr. Harrison, Mr. Burleson, Jerry Pennington, John Natividad, you know, Mikey Rillmore, these great fighters that set the standard, and because he came that generation after them, it really made him teary-eyed too. So we're doing a good thing at the Sport Karate Museum. You know, we're doing a good thing. And it's not average, but it's a good thing. You know, it'll be good for as long as everybody wants to remember that it was a lot more than just the movie stars and the people on the magazines that made the difference. It was everyone working together. And with that said, everybody, I just say again, thank you to Dale Stewart. Thank you to Hansi Bowen for producing the event. And producing the event, I mean, it's a radio show. And that's the AMMA Masters of Radio Pioneer Show. We'll see you next week. And always, as we say from the Sport Karate Museum, we protect the history one warrior at a time. Everybody, mahalo and aloha. Good night.
And good night from the great state of Texas.